It's July 2006. Stephen Harper has been Prime Minister of Canada for 6 months. In the Middle East, a war breaks out between Israel and the armed wing of the Hezbollah movement. Israel bombs southern Lebanon and the suburbs of Beirut, controlled by Hezbollah. Hezbollah responds by firing rockets at Israeli towns. Thousands of Canadians are stranded in Lebanon, some tourists, but mostly Canadians of Lebanese origin. This is the first international crisis for the young Harper government, and it doesn't take long to choose sides. While many countries require Israel to exercise restraint in its response, Stephen Harper supports the Israeli state without reservation.
Israel has a right to defend itself. I think Israel's response under the circumstances has been measured.
For those close to Stephen Harper, there's no surprise here. He has always been pro-Israel, long before becoming Prime Minister.
Stephen Harper, yes, he's very pro-Israel today, but he was also very pro-Israel, you know, 12, 13 years ago when I worked with him at the National Citizens Coalition. When he didn't have to be, there was no political, you know, reason for him to be pro-Israel.
Jerry Nichols knew Stephen Harper long before the 2006 election. According to him, despite Mr. Harper's religious or evangelical affiliation, there's nothing religious about his support for Israel.
Well, we used to talk about it, and he told me that it wasn't religious, it wasn't a religious question. It was just the fact that Israel shared a lot of Western world's values. And for that reason, he's always thought that Canada should be close to Israel and that it should support Israel.
These tight links come in handy for Mr. Harper. On at least two occasions, Israel agrees to stop firing to allow the evacuation of Canadians stuck near the line of fire. September 2012 in New York City, Stephen Harper receives the Statesman of the Year Award from an American organization. Here he clearly states his position on the state of Israel.
Now, friends, in supporting Israel, we don't sanction every policy its government pursues. When, however, it is the one country of the global community whose very existence is threatened, our government does refuse to use international fora to single out Israel for criticism.
As he accepts the tribute, Stephen Harper ignores the opening of the General Assembly of the United Nations a few blocks away, the same UN that in the summer of 2006 described Israel's response in Lebanon as disproportionate. In Israel, in the summer of 2013, Jews and Palestinians live in a state of constant tension in Jerusalem. It's a sacred place of pilgrimage for many religions, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. People come from around the world to worship. Jews go to the Wailing Wall, among other sites.
This kind of anchor in the past, while looking resolutely into the future, resulted in me finding it. A country I wanted to discover.
Richard Marceau discovered Israel, going there several times while he was a member of the Bloc Québécois from 1997 to 2006. He converted to Judaism in 2004. He is delighted with the unwavering support Harper has for Israel.
C'est une démocratie très vivante, assiégée dans un voisinage très difficile.
This is a very vibrant democracy. Besieged in a tough neighborhood. And despite this, Israel has managed to keep the rule of law, has succeeded in building a vibrant democracy, with rights and freedoms, with an interesting judiciary, strong, even in a fascinating multicultural society.
C'est une société qui est fascinante, qui est multiculturelle.
It is an image of Israel that is not shared by all.
Listen, if you call it democracy, I call it pure and simple apartheid. It's a democracy for Jews that does not apply to the Arab and Bedouin minorities that exist in Palestine.
Fouad Sayoun's family was one of the Palestinian families who decided to leave the Middle East during the creation of Israel in 1948. Fouad walks in the streets of Haifa. He is the subject of the documentary Fouad's Dream, in which he expresses his ardent desire to return to live in the city where he was born, in Haifa, in Israel.
La politique du Canada depuis la création d'Israël jusqu'à aujourd'hui.
Since the creation of Israel until now, Canada has had the same policy. Canada created Israel. It continued to give support. But they tried to play, you know, the side, the human side, the refugee side, the humanitarian aid side. But the tone has changed in a way that is irritating.
Mais le ton a changé d'une façon qui est irritante.
In this part of the world, just a simple change of tone can be seen as a policy shift. All sides scrutinize every speech, every diplomatic gesture to try to read a new direction, a change of policy, trying to discern whether it appears to support one side over the other.
I'm not convinced that this is a way to help Israel, to say that they are always right.
Qu'ils ont raison en toute chose.
Marie Bernard Mounier is a career diplomat. She held several posts as Canadian ambassador. She would prefer to see Canada play a more varied role in the direction of the Middle East.
Can we pretend it is based on principles, or if not, simply based on a belief that we are right? And I think when you share this point of view, it does not help. And this is what I regret. The Canadian tradition, it was still trying to help.
In September
2009, Stephen Harper chooses to open a Tim Hortons coffee shop in Ontario rather than attend the opening of the General Assembly of the United Nations. The following year, Canada failed in its attempt to win a seat on the UN Security Council.
150. Le Portugal est élu membre du Conseil de sécurité.
Portugal is elected. Relations between Harper and the United Nations are far from warming up. Political analyst Tasha Carradin.
Il n'aime pas l'ONU. Les conservateurs n'aiment pas l'ONU. Non.
He does not like the UN. Conservatives dislike the UN. No, it's not. The UN is seen as a body dominated by countries that are not democratic. It is an organization that not only doesn't have much power, but it should not have power because it exercises against the interest of democracy, against the interests of Israel, and particularly for Mr. Harper.
En particulier pour Mr. Harper.
For many analysts, it's clear that Mr. Harper's foreign policy is first and foremost oriented to the function of domestic politics. Jerry Nichols, former president of the National Citizens Coalition.
He doesn't care what the outside world thinks. He cares what voters in Canada think and how it will play domestically. And this is why you'll often see him do things which seem, you know, at odds with each other. It all depends on what the domestic consumption is. This is his main goal, is to get reelected.
But beyond concerns of re-election, has Stephen Harper, who has managed to stay in power since 2006, changed Canada, left his mark? Opinions differ, but there's no obvious or unanimous answer. Journalist and political analyst Paul Wells.
Il faut d'abord durer. Harper le sait plus que quiconque parce qu'il a passé la plupart de sa vie politique.
First, we must survive. Harper knows this more than anyone else because he spent most of his political life watching the actions of Trudeau and Chrétien, people he detested. He said to himself, there's nothing I can do watching them have fun. We must replace them, hold on to power, then settle into people's minds.
Ensuite, s'installer dans l'esprit des gens.
Political scientist Denis Saint-Martin.
Je pense que son plus grand héritage est...
I think his greatest legacy is what we don't see. That is to say, the dismantling of environmental policies and that the government of Canada has become the instrument of the Alberta oil industry. So it probably remains his greatest legacy, having ceded power to the oil industry.
De l'industrie pétrolifère albertaine.
Political analyst Daniel Lessard.
The other thing he tries to do a lot is to convince Canadians that the discourse of the right is not a Tea Party speech, reactionary and old, frustrated. That there are ideas on the right of the spectrum that are very interesting, and he can put forward these ideas, defend them, and Canada can also lean to the right from time to time without him losing his cause.
Peut aussi pencher à droite de temps en temps sans que bon sa cause ça perde.
Jerry Nichols, former president of the National Citizens Coalition.
And I think this is what, you know, Stephen Harper's political genius really is. He's speaking to those people. He's getting a message that will resonate with those people on issues like law and order, on issues like Israel, on issues like promoting our military and having more a tougher foreign policy. I think these are things that people have always wanted to hear, but no one was speaking to them in that language. Stephen Harper is.
Among the dozens of people interviewed for this series, there are two views that are almost unanimous. Stephen Harper is doing everything he can to hold on to power, to last, and to gradually bring all parts of Canada to accept his conservative policies. And he hopes to achieve this by wiping out the legacy of the Liberal governments that came before him.